Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk about an ugly win. But you know what? The last 2 weeks prior were pretty fucking ugly, and it does still feel better to win ugly than to lose ugly. 3-0. I think the Wild won 3-0 in their last game, if I remember correctly. That set back the National Football League back to like the 50s. It was rough. Obviously, the defense, you know, won the day. We end up benching the starting quarterback, bringing in our former backup, who was the backup, but as we know, he was hurt. So we're going to talk it through. Obviously, I was just saying before I hit record, we don't have to really go break down a bunch of different drives, you know. So that's one good thing. We're going to talk it through. We did get a lot of folks injured. Now, whether they can't play this week or not, you know, Justin Jefferson stands way out. Just got back into the game on like his third target, and he had to lead the game. But it does sound positive. Maybe he won't play Saturday, but overall, it's not like his spleen's fucked up or, you know, his lung or something like that, because it looked pretty serious. So we'll talk it through. Then obviously, we got to look forward to Saturday. A little quick turnaround. Saturday at noon at Cincinnati. Got to play those Bengals, and we think we know who the quarterback is going to be, a former Viking, we think. We're going to break it all down. Then we do have some news. The defensive coordinator for the Gophers is gone. We usually end the show with the Gophers segment. So we had a lot of positive news, and then the DC coordinator, gone, the coordinator. All right, so we'll talk it through. In just a short little bit, get this thing started. If this is your first time listening to the college ball show on a Monday. The Purple People Eaters podcast. Welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Ropeadope and download the show directly there. You can find this year Purple People Eaters podcast under Ropeadope Radio on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Google Podcasts, Podbay. You can download the podcast app. Also, check out the Living in Loserville Spricker page. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thecruelingtruth.com and Sports News 24. And one more quick thing from DirecTV Stream. Sign up today and save up to $64.99 when you get DirecTV Stream. Our best deals of 2023. For a limited time, $69.98 for the first 2 months. That's saving $50 when you get the entertainment package and the DirecTV Sports Pack. Pick the DirecTV Stream package that's right for you. All right, let's go ahead and bring in the co-host. Well, man, we've seen some ugly games, and we have been, speaking of college, we have been playing in the Big Ten West, which is no longer now, for quite some time. So we do know ugly football when we see it. But, man, that one, Aaron, that one was really, really ugly. But like I said, a win is a win, and it feels a lot better with a dub than it does these last 2 weeks where the shit was ugly. I guess for certain, different reasons because of the turnovers. This week, at least we didn't turn the ball over a bunch.
Yeah, I want to just reach out to everybody who heard me say last week to hit the over on this game. I couldn't have been more wrong unless, you know, it was 0-0 overtime, but somebody would still have to win, so maybe a safety, and that's the only way I could have been more wrong, a 2-0 victory. Nonetheless, I can really break down the first three quarters for you. It's blah, 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 punt, blah, 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 punt, blah, blah, punt, and so on and so forth.
Blah, blah, missed field goal.
Let's not forget that. We're going to bring that one up. This guy still has a job. he did hit the winner. Don't get me wrong, but that was inside of 50 yards. There's some stats on that. I think the Eagles have hit 7. Some of the teams hit 8, and we've hit 3 over 50 nonetheless. That's a digression. But, yeah, what a game to watch. I just sat there going, you know, wow. you know, the offensive futility, and then, you know, what happened to Jefferson. Just couldn't get anything done offensively at all, and just makes the defense shine out a little bit more. You know, they're a top five club now, I think, in yards and points defensively. It's amazing what's happened on that side of the ball. I know we're going to get to that, but, man, that was a tough one to sit through. I guess the only silver lining is that, you know, you did come out with a W.
Yeah, it was ugly, no doubt about it. I mean, defensively, it was great. I still can't believe they were able to do that. I mean, when you see stats like this, it reminds me of, like, 1984 Nebraska versus the Gophers or something like that. They got 8 first downs. And don't get me wrong, 16 is not a ton for the Vikings, but 8 effing first downs for the Raiders, 3 of 14 on third down, 2 of 2 early on 4th and 1. But other than that, I mean, it was a wrap. And, you know, both defenses played well. Obviously, they got a lot of pressure. And as we know, the key to getting Dobbsy is, one, adjust, especially the outside linebackers and the defensive ends. We've seen that. We've seen them basically keep them in the pocket or force them to go negative yards to try to turn the corner early in the game. It almost damn near took his head off. It probably should have been. There was like 2 helmets they didn't call in that game last night. But, yeah, man, JJ comes in, makes a great grab. He's on the ground holding his lower back. Sounds like it's his chest. We were just talking about, did it just, like, go through his whole body? It was nice, like I said, at least he's okay, because that didn't look good live, that's for sure. I was pretty concerned. And anytime a guy on the road goes to the hospital, you know it's pretty serious. So it is good news for him, you know, to come back. But, yeah, really the only positives is that field goal drive, or I should say the missed field goal drive. 12 plays, took up 6 minutes. The zone read definitely was out there early for running the ball. And, you know, we were running the you-know-what on the ball early and often. I mean, overall, we knew that was somewhat of a weakness for them. I think they came in the 6th worst or something like that. So I did like how they stuck to that run early. And there was a chance to, you know, go further in that missed field goal drive. We did have a low pass there that kind of bounced. I thought he caught the ball for a second. It's like, how did he? Oh, he did. It bounced. But, you know, for that to have the missed field goal there, that was pretty rough. It's like, man, you knew points were going to come, you know, it's like times 10 in that game points. But yeah, that was a rough first half, but even that, so we had contained, it was 10 of 14 for 60 yards, for O'Connell, but only 9 carries, 25, 2.8 a clip. Whereas on the flip side, 14 carries, 85 yards, 6.1 a clip. At that time, Jefferson was the leading receiver at half, basically right at half. At that time, Dobbs, 5 of 11, you know, 40 yards. It wasn't looking too good. We talked last week, Aaron, like the writing was kind of on the wall that Dobbs was going to start again. You pointed that out pretty clearly, and I agreed with you. And I wasn't going to – I was kind of in between. Like, I'd have been fine with both of them. Both of us were kind of like that. You know, and also Coach Kale made an interesting point of this is usually when he gets benched, you know, in his career. So what I did is I wanted to install some confidence and go a little bit further, which, you know, when he says it like that, it does actually make a lot of sense. But, you know, as it turned out, it was like, well, yeah, I see why he gets benched, but, you know, we do have to say, as far as pass protection, it was pretty rough, especially that first half, first 2.5 quarters. It was pretty rough. And then when he did have time, he was a little inaccurate. You know, like I said, he went low to Powell, which could have been an easy first down. Maybe we score a touchdown and the game's out of reach at that point. But, you know, a lot of folks were down on Coach KO for that decision. I really wasn't. And even when he gives a reasoning like that, it's like, yeah, that's a good point. Might as well try. And it's not like he was throwing picks left and right. But, yeah, the run offense blocking was pretty damn solid. Mattson was running really hard. But it was really hit or miss in the pass protection, no doubt about it.
That's a really good point. You know, I thought they ran the football well enough to maybe not throw the ball 32 times or whatever the final stat was. I thought they could have ran the ball a little bit more. But that's not O'Connell's style. So everybody out there yelling, just run the ball. Yeah, okay, but that's, you know, this is the offense that he has. You're going to throw the ball in this offense, and I don't want to hear about, you know, how we should run the ball like P.J. Fleck and then complain about the fact that he didn't throw the ball. I mean, you can't please everybody in this world. Nonetheless, you know, Dobbs, Chris, you're right. The book is out on Dobbs. It probably was out before the bye, but now they know. Contain him, keep him in the pocket, give him a little inside pressure. Don't let him escape. Give him complicated things to look at. And, you know, you'll probably have a pretty successful day against him. We're not going to obviously, you know, turn into an option team or a team that's going to run Dobbs on a lot of planned runs. So, you know, you're right about how we, you know, evaluated it last week in the bye week show. You know, we were fine either way. I think I leaned more Dobbs, just for continuity reasons. And I really didn't think Mullins would have as much to offer as he offered in the fourth quarter there. He seemed decisive. He came out, he threw the ball well. And decisively down the field, hit Addison. But we got to remember there was quite a few drops for Dobbs. Not that that would have changed anything drastically, but KJ dropped a couple. There was maybe one that
Naylor
could have had.
Key third down Naylor.
Naylor dropped. Got hit in the face with a ball. So there's that. But you know, it didn't seem like the offense was, you know, cohesive at all, Chris. It seemed like everything was scattered for those first three quarters, besides the run game, which showed a little bit of life. But, you know, I guess I won't say we were wrong because we kind of, you know, we're behind KOC in his decision. And I think what you explained about what he said is an adequate reason to start Dobbs. The real question is, you know, what do you do next week? Are you going to start Dobbs? Are you going to start Mullins? To all of us, it seems like an obvious decision, but we're not in the locker room. We're not in the front office. We don't know what the conversations are there about Dobbs, about Mullins. We just see what we saw on the field at the end of the fourth quarter and a drive that, I guess, won the game by allowing a field goal to be kicked. But, yeah, I mean, you gave up something for Dobbs, so maybe two wins is equal to that. I'm not sure, but I don't really care to see Dobbs again, unless, you know, he comes in for an injured Mullins, but I don't, you know, I'm in the spot where I don't really care to see Mullins either. So, you know, Kirk's not coming back anytime soon. Although there was a note that if we make the playoffs, he might be able to play that game, but that's for another.
We're not getting into the Rodgers stuff because right. Rodgers was supposed to play by now too. Remember?
Right. And you know, I don't have a real want to see Hall, but I think you, Chris, and you and I are in the same boat. It's like either all of the three all have their reasons why they should play, all have their reasons why they shouldn't play. And so it's like you got to leave it up to coach and his decision about what he thinks is best, because at this point, you know, Dobbs has his pluses and minuses. Mullins obviously has his pluses and minuses, and Hall has his pluses and minuses. And
sure,
you don't want to go matchup by matchup, but you want, because you want the offensive line in whatever shape they're in at this point. You know, O'Neal went down. Our boy Ingram went down. None of us knew that. That was a bye week injury. But it seems like the other side with Darisaw, Reisner, and Bradbury are still in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Questenberry's a pretty good backup. I have my doubts about Brandel, but, you know,
sure.
I think in a pinch, he can come in and play spot duty, which he's been doing. So there was a lot of moving parts last night or yesterday that, you know, makes it a little hard to evaluate the offensive side of the ball, but you know, the defensive side of the ball is a marvel at this point.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And just kind of wrapping up that drive, the drive, they're going to call it the drive in years to come. Okay. No, they're not. Well, first, it was funny, though, because Mullins came in and almost threw a pick right away, the tip. Well, I suppose it was going to be a tough pick, but he threw it right to a dude. TJ wasn't open, or at least you were going to have to put some serious touch on it or something to loft it over the dude, because dude wasn't open. Or he was behind him, you know, so he wasn't open. It wasn't a jump ball scenario. But after that, I thought he settled in. KJ had a nice first down catch on a 3rd and 3. TJ as well on a 3rd down. I think there's like 3 3rd downs on that drive. Addison had a catch and run that put us basically into that field goal position. So that was pretty nice. You know, it's kind of interesting because someone made a point, Alec Lewis, I want to say his name for The Athletic. He's very, very solid when we're trying to find dudes, or females and males, you know, reporters that aren't just trying to tweet whatever the fuck they want to try to get the impressions. This dude's legit. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because he said O'Connell hasn't said who's it's going to be just yet. But he was saying, you know, I will say this, on tape, the tape does show that Dobbs, the read option, did help the running game on the early downs, and then Nick Mullins did perform, you know, pretty well on 3rd down. So you're like, yeah, that is a good point. Now, we had already, without even the, you know, the different, we're kind of mixing it up with the run lately, but either way, we are running the ball better than we were. And at first, I did think that both of us talked about how we'll at least get a notch up from Dobbs with the run. That's obviously faltered the last couple of weeks. Even this one, he got 5 runs, but only for 21 yards. But 10 carries, 66 yards, 16 the long one for Mattson. And even Chandler came in and had 12 for 35. Overall, though, I mean, 30 carries, a buck 32, and 4.4 a carry. I mean, that's pretty damn good. And, yes, I know the Raiders' defense isn't great at stopping the run, by the way. Neither is Cincinnati. And last week, obviously, I think they were the second worst. Actually, even with Denver, they were the worst. So you got to exploit the weaknesses. So, you know, I think that when push comes to shove, I just feel like you got a guy who knows the system a lot better. He's at least more comfortable in it with Mullins because he has been here. He definitely gets the ball out quicker, you know. And he's gonna, you know, he's just gonna throw the damn ball like when it's supposed to be thrown. Now, doesn't mean he's not gonna have picks either. And I'm not talking everyone has picks, but he'll probably throw it around a little too much. And we talked about that last week. In fact, if you look at through 17 career starts, so it's a season, right? He's got 24 touchdowns, over 4,000 yards, right? So that sounds good. But, you know, he does have 21 picks in that time, too. So, which, you know, 17 games, 21 picks, whatever. But at least he's been around the block a little bit. And those key 3rd downs, and like I said, just being decisive with the ball, especially if we can get, knock on wood, Jefferson to come back, I do think we should go with him. And then maybe Hall, if not. Dobbsy, he's not comfortable in the pocket. And like I said, there was a lot of pressure coming from the right side, no doubt about it. There was, especially early in that game, a ton of it. But there's a couple times where a hole's wide open, he could have ran through it, waited, then went to go run through it, someone clogged it, backed out of there, and it was acting like he was going to outrun Crosby to the – like he just does stuff, this pocket awareness, it's really bad. He's not comfortable in the pocket. He's trying to look like 20 yards and down. It seems like he doesn't want to – when he uses his little quick options of like, hey, there's a guy open, it's too late usually. And like you said, the pressure And those drops, he did have three drops. And I think two out of those three were going to be first downs. And we always say, whether it's a turnover, a drop, or whatever, or penalties that put you way back, you never know what happens on those drives, especially in a game like this. But I do think he takes some sacks that he doesn't need to. And that does kind of mess us up. So I would definitely go with Mullins until it looks, you know, really bad, you know, basically, which isn't really selling him, you know, strongly to the locker room, but it is what it is.
I agree with you on the Mullins thing, just because of the night and day difference you saw in that drive of just decisiveness and zip on the ball. And, you know, even if the ball wasn't well placed, it was going to the right place at the right time. And you're right, you know, Dobbs tends to play a little bit and late on throws, misses some guys. He doesn't see stuff. Just seems like he might be a little overwhelmed, which is, you know, he's been around for a while. It'd be hard to say that'd be overwhelmed, but it just seems like that's the case. And, you know, maybe it's learning so much so fast and, you know, probably had six different offenses in 6 years or whatever. I'm not going to make excuses for him. He didn't play well, and he hasn't played well for a couple of weeks. Mullins is healthy. Looks like he has a good grasp of the offense. And like you said, he's been around. I'm with Mullins on this one too. But the caveat is I just, you know, if you threw Hall in there, I'd be like, fine, let's see what happens. Yeah. You want to go Dobbs again? Fine. Let's see what happens. I mean, I didn't expect us to win more than six games this year for a multitude of reasons. We just won our seventh game and I don't know how, you know, but it's happened. I think it's the defense, particularly when you haven't had Jefferson, you lost Kirk. It's pretty amazing at this point that you got seven wins, and that amazingness, that to me just has to go with Flores and that defense and just holding teams to zero touchdowns. Who could have called that? Nobody. And that's what's holding this thing together. And the problem with all of this, Chris, in my head, because I'm a big, you know, try to get us a quarterback early in the draft guy, is that this defense is not going to allow that to happen. This is a defense, Chris, I think. If you can win 3-0 against a very not very good Raiders team, you can win 14-10 against anybody.
Now that's two touchdowns. Hold on, you just gave us two touchdowns. I don't. Oh, maybe there's like a pick six. Okay, I got
it. I mean, you could win. You beat San Francisco. Defense had a large part to play in that. It's just about getting the offense.
That was one of our best lines, though. Line, I don't know. We were moving the ball on that one.
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm saying is you can go toe-to-toe with a good defense. You can go, I mean, took the ball from the Ravens to the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying that, so no, you know, don't clip that. I'm just saying it's amazing what a good defense can do for you, particularly in playoff time. And that just changes the whole view of the rest of this season. As well as, because I mean, the quarterbacks you're facing, can Jake Browning figure out what Flores is doing? I don't know. Can AJ McCarron? Pretty sure he can't, or he'd be in the league. You know, can Jared Goff, you know, what does he have planned for Jared Goff? We haven't seen the Lions this year. What has Flores got planned for that? You know, there is a lot of things going on here. And, you know, I would say if our offense was scoring 30, okay, but I would not be nearly as confident, and strangely enough, as I am. In a lights out defense and what it can do coming down the stretch of a season and possibly in the playoffs. That's kind of the thing there. You know, it's like you could possibly win four of five games just due to the defense that nobody can score on you, Chris. And that to me is a, I won't say frightening thought because that'd be great, but man, it just is hard to place, you know, what this team can do. And if you can get any offense at all, and whether that's Mullins, Hall, Dobbs, anybody, you know, at this point, I'm like, you know, score me 17 and I think we win almost any ball game.
That was the old Warren Sapp. Just give us 17. We'll take care of it. When it's Tampa Bay. I would push back on the how though, because up until these last 2 weeks, we were moving the ball. We just kept turning the ball over. So I think that plays into why and how if we would have just cut instead of four picks, two picks, we probably won that Denver game. You know what I mean? So I would probably push back on the how we got to six or seven wins, I guess, because, you know, it was the turnovers. When you look at 1-4, we were fucking on the league record, you know, fumble type shit. So I would push back on that a little bit, but you're dead on this defense because it keeps you in the damn game. This type of shit, it does keep you in the game. And anything can happen. It's wide open. A couple weeks ago, didn't Philly look like the dominating force? And then all of a sudden the Niners went through a little bumps and bruises, and now they're looking strong. Now the Cowboys are looking strong. But we know it's the Cowboys. You know, it's not the mid-90s. So who knows? In a couple weeks, they could all of a sudden falter a little bit. So you're right. I mean, it is wide open, especially in the NFC. And literally, we'd have – even if we go 2-2, we're getting to the playoffs. You know, it's just a matter of where we're going to end up. And that last Detroit game, hate to look too far, you know, far down, but you never know. They may already have a spot. They may be looking to rest because they got to play, you know, in the wild card round. So, but speaking of defense, as we should, I mean, dude, Pace. I mean, this guy, I got a little echo going on. Pace, the game winner, INT, 13 tackles, had a sack, just all over the place. I mean, from the first possession, I think he made two tackles on that first possession. Like, he was just eating them up. And I'm pretty sure I know who got him on the team. I'm pretty sure. And then Blackman. I mean, Blackman and company. There was a lot more people. But Blackman, considering the matchup he had a lot of the times, when he went head-to-head with Adams, he's playing out of his mind. And if you look at, you know, we have two out of the top five defensive, a lot of people swear by the PFF, so I'll use it for him. Two out of the top five rated rookies on defense. So, you know, before you start freaking out from a Georgia Bulldog safety that, you know, we don't know what he's going to turn into. Maybe it will be a 100% bust. Does it kind of look like that right now? Sure. Now, we're deep at the safety position, let's be honest. So maybe, you know, if Harrison Smith comes back for one more year, you know, safety, maybe he can get two more years. It's tough to say. You never know. Maybe he will. But we got to start focusing on what else Kwesi did. And those two dudes, along with he made, you know, he had to have had something to do with the hiring of Flores. So, yeah, this defense, dude, like I said, eight first downs, 3 of 14, had those three turnovers too, 202 total yards, some hits on the QB, 4 sacks. I mean, it's just amazing. It's funny. I've seen this. Well, we just got to, you know, Flores is going to be gone more than likely, so we just got to get a guy not to touch the defense. It's like, dude, he formulated this fucking shit based off a college defense, formations that haven't been seen in the league. And he's just supposed to – we're just supposed to not touch it? Oh, just do what Flores would have done. That's not how these things work. Not just the week-to-week stuff, but the in-game adjustments, when to call that blitz, when to be like, all right, it's not working, they're taking advantage of us. Let's drop 8. So this dude – and we say it every week. Maybe it's getting – you know, sickening to the audience, but I just can't stop. I mean, this dude, I mean, and then Metellus. Here's another, so we extend Metellus, another Kwesi move, and we got this, he's lined up at strong safety, free safety, all three corners, left, right, and slot, left inside linebacker, right inside linebacker, middle linebacker, both outsides, defensive end and defense. I mean, the dude's lined up pretty much everywhere. And when have you ever heard of that, really? We've heard of striker positions and all these, you know, there's like 8 different nicknames for that. This has been a different level. And here we are, you know, 5th in scoring defense, 5th in yards per play allowed. I mean, this guy, it's a miracle. And like you said, it keeps you in every single solitary game. So we got the dub. Any other loose items from this game, or should we get into preview and predicting Saturday's game? Just a reminder, guys, it's Saturday, not Sunday.
I needed that reminder. I thought it was Sunday, Saturday game, I guess. We're at that point in the year. I wanted to say that, you know, we haven't mentioned his name, especially during the bye week show, because he had injury, but a Caleb Evans has come up and, sure, and been a solid corner. You're right about Metellus, Joker, Monster Back, all the different, you know, names you could put for the position that he plays. I think that was the first position I ever played in football, was like a monster back position in like seventh grade. But nonetheless, Caleb Evans, you know, he's got to stay on the field. But I think we said last year, even, Chris, that we think he's a starting corner talent-wise. And he's been a starting corner this year. He's had some injury issues. But, you know, he's played really well. So I want to add him into the list of players that have played really well under the scheme. You know, not to mention, you know, unheard of guys that we talk about. And you're right, we do go on and on about, but what else are you supposed to do? It's been an amazing turn of events with this defense. And, you know, we're coming up on a road game in Cincinnati, Chris. We don't know exactly who the starter is. We know it's not Joe Burrow. We know that. But we don't know right. if it's going to be our old boy Jake Browning, a training camp wonder, or the old Alabama guy, A.J. McCarron. From what I saw, he wasn't very serious with Browning. He was dehydrated and his hand cramped. So it seems like he'll be back in there for the Cincinnati Bengals. But it's not, you know, it's not warm in Cincinnati this time of year. And, you know, they've got players. They got Jamar Chase. Our old boy Irv Smith is down there. Joe Mixon can still run the football. Good offensive line and a defense that's adequate. Not the same team as you would face with a Joe Burrow, that's for sure. But I like our chances here with this defense and whatever quarterback they throw out there. As I mentioned earlier, I think Jake Browning hasn't seen anything like this. And it's one of those things, Chris, where they can study tape all they want, but they're going to make an adjustment for this game. And that's going to throw all the tape out the window, or at least a lot of it. And you're just going to have to adjust on the fly like every other offense has had to do against it. And, you know, you and I, we talked a little bit off air, and we could maybe get into a little bit of what we think about Flores as a possibility next year. But, you know, as you mentioned off air, it doesn't look good at chances of him staying around.
Let's hold off on that because it hurts. It hurts.
Right? Yeah, let's painful. Hold off. I mean, there's a chance, Chris. It just kind of, you know, with every week, the chance gets less and less and less, you know. But offense is an issue right now. And whatever you do, whether that's Mullins, which I think it's going to be Mullins. Logic says it's going to be Mullins.
Yeah.
Anything else would be a bit of a surprise. I guess.
Yeah, because Hall wasn't even active, right? He wasn't on the active roster. He's a rookie,
and if you had a better, yeah. If you got a more experience, I mean, we're in December. You know, it's not like this is –
right, true.
Early September here.
Yeah, wildcat race here. Yeah, that's right. True.
You know, you're going to go with the veteran, whether that's Dobbs or Mullins, and Dobbs has clearly played himself out of a great situation, and so it's got to be Mullins at this point. And you got to think, well, what are his positives and negatives? And, you know, he's good game manager-wise, which is kind of what you need, particularly if you're going to lean on the defense like you have. But you got to run the football more, I think. Just play the, you know, time of possession game. Rely on your defense. Give them rests by getting first downs and score a few points. I mean, that – and I think you have the tools to do it. If Jefferson is back, which signs are saying that he is going to be back, whether you'd agree with that or not, I'm kind of in the, all right, he's got to sit him, you know, sit him again. But, you know, other people, they have their fantasy football teams and
– that's right.
You know, that takes precedence over everything else, apparently,
over
in today's
human
world.
Life.
Right. So, I like this. I like this to be a win. I'm not going to go so far as to say we're going to score points this time. Because the last time, we didn't. And, you know, I think this is the identity of this team, regardless of the head coach, is now and going forward till the end of the season is going to be the defense. And yeah. So we're not talking about, you know, we don't have arguably our two best offensive players. I don't even know if that's arguable.
It's not.
Cousins and Jefferson. Yeah. I don't think you'd have a very valid argument saying that somebody else on this offense is better. Well, you could say
Darisaw, I love me perhaps. Some Darisaw. Yeah, I love me some Darisaw. I love right. all that. But, yeah.
So two of the three of our best are out. And that's, you know, if Jefferson does come back, well, that makes it one of the three, but that's a very important one. Yeah, I still like it. I like it because of the defense, Chris. I like it. A narrow victory again. Oh, a one-score win. I think if you went up against Burrow, they'd have a shot, you know, against this defense.
Sure.
But I don't think it'd be a cakewalk, but I think they'd have a shot. I don't think they have a shot with Browning, and I don't think they have a shot with McCarron. If they wanted to, you know, hunker down and do a Belichick thing and just run the ball at us 50 times, there's a shot. You know, you got a shot there. But I don't see them doing that. Obviously, getting third and longs, you're going to want to throw the ball. So I like the Vikings here. I want to say 3 points. I want to say a low-scoring game because it's going to be cold and outside. But I like them. I like the Vikings here. And that puts it 8 wins. And that, to me, is just – with what we went into this season, the possibility of 8 wins to me just – it blows my mind at this point.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I push back on that pretty heavily, but I only picked 9, so it's not like I was saying 11 or 12, but
well,
I don't know.
I mean, I based the six-win call on the state of the defense.
Sure, I hear that.
But now that's completely done 180.
Garbage last year, too, though. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
I thought they were going to be minorly better is my point.
Right.
And I thought
they would be so bad. Yeah, they're magically better.
So you thought they'd even get maybe even worse. I thought they'd get worse
or stay the same, you know? Sure.
Yeah. And, you know, we were going to have a little, you know, bad luck in there, too, considering especially those two games that we had in Buffalo and Indianapolis. It was going to come back to us. But another one-score win, by the way, last week, right? Man, we are just trying to set records with that. But, yeah, it's 39.5, right around 39.5 over, under. So it opened at 4. I've seen Cincinnati is the favorite by 4 points. I've seen it as low as 3.5. And they don't really run the ball. They're the second-worst team in rushing the ball at 84. We're not even as bad. We've actually gone up to the 90s. I think we're 6th-worst or something like that. Overall, their offense, 22nd in total yards. They're like middle of the pack for passing, but that obviously had Burrow stats in there too. That's what's holding us up too on our passing. We're still 8th in passing, but a lot of that was Cousins. But we're 12th in total offense still, and like I said, we did bump up, 6th worst, but we're up to 95 yards for rushing a game. So that's pretty good. Defensively, though, we're now 10th in yards. What'd I say? 5th in scoring. I can't stop thinking, what the hell? How did we get here? But for Cincy, though, they're literally just one spot ahead of the Raiders, giving up .127 a game. So, yeah, we got to run the ball. And you know what? They're 26th in pass, too. They're 31st in total yards. So there's really no excuse not to move the ball somewhat and just try to, take care of the ball a little bit. And by the way, Coach KO did say that it was and you can see it was like a little bit more conservative because he's like, well, I'm trying not to have the ball get turned over as much. So, he did actually kind of put the reins back a little bit, which I think is smart right now because, like my co-host said, you got yourself a defense that's going to keep you in the game. And you know, they're going to start scoring touchdowns here soon. So I'm with you. Dude, if we win this game, this is from Dustin Baker. The Vikings haven't won at Cincinnati in 31 years. So shit is crazy, sure.
Wow.
But, yeah, right? Starts to make you think. And if Mullins starts, right, it'll tie for the record for 4 different starters in 1 year. 2013, Castle, Ponder, Webb, and Freeman. So it'll tie that. And like we said, we both think Mullins will. But playoff-wise, right, the week before it was rough. This week, of course, the Vikes won, but the Lions lost, Seahawks lost, Falcons lost, and the Rams. So We're in the sixth position. Like I said, even if we went 2-2, we'd be in. But I'm with you. I think that they will get the job done, and I literally have like 9-8, 16-15, 16-12. Like, I think my first one was 17-6, but I was, or 17-16. But I thought, oh man, that's two touchdowns. I don't know if I can do that. But I do think it'll be a grinded out, ugly game. And if we can just get to like 10 points or 13 points within like the first three quarters, that would probably be enough. So yeah, I'm with you. I think they'll win on the road and then have two home games coming up. And like you said, in that last week, we don't know what Detroit will or will not need. They may take a little break with their guys if they're already slotted. So yeah, we're both on the same page there. Now, the Gophers, up until recently, had a great week. We'll talk about that in a second. But good old Rossi, who came in late 2018 when we were just a sieve on defense, giving up like 45, 55, 52. And 2019 was his first year. And, you know, sure, you know, you can blame maybe – you said it, I thought best, maybe some of the scheme needed to be tweaked down the stretch. They did give up more big plays than we're used to. They were 71st at 27. Now, we had a tough-ass schedule, but 2019 were 38th, 2020 70th, and the last 2 years before this, 6th and 4th, and then 71st this year. But this isn't a shocker. Just because we all kind of thought heading into this year, we're probably not going to hang on to this guy. And I figured it would maybe be a smaller non-power five team that he'd just be a head coach on. Or it would be money that was thrown at him. And Michigan State, who just got a brand new coach who did really well. Oregon State, you could defend and you could run the ball. That's a hell of a way to start. You know, a foundation to have when you're at Michigan State, and they could just outspend us like pretty much every, you know, most teams can for coaches. And that's with PJ Fleck giving up a little of his money to try to up it. I think he was ready to make $1.1 million, Rossi, this year. This was his next deal. So it's kind of to be expected. I'm assuming, Aaron, that it'll be either in-house what we got, or a former, so it's kind of in-house, like a former guy that got an upgrade someplace and is going to come back. Now, Jim Leonard for Wisconsin, the guy who was there for a while, he already knows the Big Ten. He doesn't have a job just yet. Maybe we can earmark some more cash or something like that to get him in. That would be my first choice, like hands down. I just think that someone would probably pay him more. But my guess is it's probably in-house there.
Well, I went to the dailygopher.com and gave me a few replacements that, you know, I hadn't thought of. Joe Harris-Simiak, he's the defense coordinator at Rutgers, says salary's an issue there. He's getting paid well at Rutgers. Nick Monroe, who's the cornerback's coach and co-defensive coordinator at Minnesota, so that would be an in-house hire.
The first guy was kind of in-house, too, because he was here.
Okay. Danny Collins, a safeties coach, also in-house, Minnesota. And then we have Tem Lukebu, L-U-K-A-B-U, who's the outside linebackers coach for the Carolina Panthers. Spencer Nowinski, defensive line.
Durr was heavy on him. Corey Durr, who's pretty active on Twitter, he was heavy on that last guy you mentioned.
Okay. Now, I don't know a lot about these guys. Like I said, I'm just reading from a pretty credible source here. This guy, Spence Nowinski, was at Ohio. And those are some of the names. Corey Heatherman is a linebackers coach at Rutgers. So it seems like there's a lot of back and forth going on with Rutgers. Nonetheless, you know, Rossi did come in after you said after the 45, 42, 52. I think that was a Maryland game we played in. They just, you know, defense played well except for the four long runs we gave up.
Yeah, exactly.
And
wasn't for those explosive plays. We really had them.
And he really cleaned up that defense. You know, he really did. Over the stretch of his tenure here, excuse me, as DC, the defense was respectable, a little bit tailing off towards the end of this season. But, you know, he got a good gig at Michigan State. Like you said, they got deeper pockets, which is kind of weird, but we've got to deepen these pockets here at Minnesota. We went about it last week, and we'll continue to do so. And that's the name of the game now. College football is different. I think I saw today that Marvin Harrison Jr. was offered $20 million on an NIL deal. I mean,
it wasn't that high, but yeah, it's close to what he could get in his first year.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting to a point where, you know, your little 10 bucks, yeah, definitely send it, but you might have put some zeros on the bottom of that, on the end of that too, because this is.
We're not going to go with Ohio State, though. I mean, no. They'll forever beat us.
Yep, but you don't want to have the fetus attitude. You know, at least you can.
No, I'm saying money. I'm saying money-wise.
That's what I'm saying.
They already had it before NLI. They already had boosters. So I'm saying it's not defeatist. It's reality.
Yeah, I know, but man, I mean, I don't want to get stuck at the bottom of the Big Ten because we can't afford it. But hey, you never know how things are going to go. But Rossi, good luck to you. But finding a replacement is. Well, I mean, you can look at the Vikings and see what a good defensive coordinator can do. It is important, probably more important than the offensive coordinator for PJ and his program. It's just going to be huge, and he needs to, whether that's in-house or out-house or, you know, around the corner or down the street, you got to find somebody who can come in and replace or even do better than Rossi did. And you know, that's huge. And you got some good players coming in, like you said, Chris. Good news, you know, followed by bad news. And it's been like that for, what, the last four shows with the Gophers. It's like, oh, great. But good news, but, you know, and that's been happening. Cole Kramer's going to start the bowl game. So, you know, I don't know if this is his last year or what. But
he's got one more year eligibility.
Okay, well, yippee. So that's another note there, Chris. But, PJ said, you know, you get to a point in your program where this is a regular occurrence where you're losing coordinators, you're losing coaches.
Yeah.
That's a good place to be no matter what you say. And I guess we're there. But, you know, Rossi, I think just as a point of continuity, it'll be tough to, you know, see him go unless he's really well replaced.
Yeah, and that's another reason. I'm glad you brought that up. That's another reason why I do believe that they'll bring someone in-house or former in-house, because that system, right, the flex system on defense has been great for a while. The only time he veered away from it was that 2018 year. And he's like, okay, shouldn't have done that. I don't know what I was thinking there. So I think that although – I mean, you know, it's not like he was Flores, right, on that level, but he was damn solid. And so I do think that they'll be able to get someone that's right there. But overall, I mean, this is the biggest blow right here, because other than that, like, Ethan's not that big of a blow even before we didn't know who was going to be quarterback. But now, you know, they did get a quarterback who was on a lot of people's radar. So I think we're going to be okay there. But they got a cornerback. We've been doing this plug-and-play. Trayvon Jones from Elon, I think it is Elon. He came in and plugged and played. We had a couple of those guys do that. That Ryan Stapp was a good kind of backup as well. We've had success with this FCS transfer stuff. and, you know, we knew that Kyler Baugh was leaving, or, you know, because he's out of eligibility. And he was another guy from Houston Christian who came in. Jack Gibbons, we were just trying to think of his name. Jack Gibbons, Jack Henderson, who's still on the team and played really good this year. So we've had success. So now we got the Max Browser or Brosmer. And then Ethan Robinson at corner, who's probably going to be a plug and play. And USC, Auburn, Oklahoma State, some heavy hitters were coming for him. And we locked and loaded him, and then we got a D tackle because of that Bob. We have, you know, we kind of do a rotation there. And Louisville, K-State, some other heavy hitters, I think. I can't remember, but we got him. So we've actually, and just to follow up, because we didn't know for a fact last week of all the – we had 15 starters last year with eligibility. We now have 14 out of those 15. Quinn Carroll, the dude from Notre Dame, there's a couple that hadn't been announced yet. So 14 out of the 15 eligible senior, not seniors, but starters. And the only one is Ethan. And to be honest with you, I wanted him to bring in somebody to challenge him because he hadn't taken a hold of it. So when you bring back that many starters, we're not even talking about guys that come in the rotation either. So it's about 32 guys that were producing overall, and at least in the 20s of guys that are going to get big playing time. So it's been a win. We'll see what happens here, you know, with this D coordinator. But overall, it's been a great offseason so far. But remember, you can't live and die weekly, guys, okay? We have four guys now that are pretty highly ranked, and they're taking visits. One dude's, I think, from Illinois. He said, I'm good. I'm staying. I took a visit, but I am staying for sure. Just today, a guy took a visit to USC from Prior Lake, and he decommitted. But you're going to get this. Decommit. Find a guy that you didn't think you're going to get. It happens. Like, if they can be calm with it and be able to produce past that, the coaching, I think we should. You know, so everybody calm down. Because just a little bit ago, they were saying, oh, the house is coming down because Deion had some decommits. Then he goes out and gets the best O-tackle and got, like, the eighth best wide receiver. So everybody just calm down. It happens. We have till December 20th or something until that first the early signees can sign up. So everybody calm down. People are going to decommit, but other people will commit. Otherwise, you know, it's been a damn good offseason so far.
Kyler Baugh left, Chris?
Well, he didn't leave. He doesn't have eligibility. He's played here for 2 years. He had 2 years eligibility. Wow. And that's why they had to go get a replacement okay. Because he rotated. With some
yeah, I like that kid. Too. That was pretty sad to see that. I thought he would be back next year. Wow.
All right, no, cool. he was done, yeah. Hmm. The last 2 years he's played pretty good, but he was in the rotation with Eastern and Logan Richard, mm-hmm. Those three kind of rotated, so they needed to get someone there, and so yeah. That's why I really like that that D tackle. Whether he grabs a starting job or just rotates,
right? Yeah, okay. Well, that makes more sense to me. I thought they would be possibly playing together, and I was like, well, that's pretty formidable. But yeah, I mean, go ahead.
But once again, Dinky Town athletes, become a member or make a contribution, please, and thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is getting to be, you know, I think it'll take 5-6 years before it all settles into what actually college football looks like now, but it's starting to, you know, really, you're starting to see what it looks like. And it's, you know, it's a change and things have to change, but man, definitely Dinky Town. Yeah. I mean, make your donations and, you know, you would think that we could handle something like that as community being in a major city and all of that with the companies and so on. So I hope that really works out that way. But nonetheless, definitely follow the show anywhere you can. Chris mentioned the College Ball Show. If you're into college football, probably get into the subject a lot more in depth. That's the College Ball Show on the same places you can get this, you know, Spotify. The hub is Ropadope Radio. There's a lot of places you can get anywhere you find Apple Podcasts. Anywhere you find your podcast, you'll get the Purple People Leaders Podcast, the College Ball Show, any number of other shows. But let's hope that we can score more points offensively. Like I said, 17 will do it. I think if we get 17 in any given game, I'm pretty sure, with the exception of a couple teams out there like Kansas City or whatnot,
sure,
that
yeah.
You can win this game. But you know, this defense is holding us in there. Let's hope it continues to do so. And so Jefferson comes back and Mullins can throw to him. I mean, I think that is a recipe for success. And who thought we'd be a legitimate playoff team at this point? You know, that's shocking to me, and it will be. But nonetheless, we will see you next week.